John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, this is Ed Peterson.
And this is John Kiltica.
This is the High Gain Podcast.
Yep, the High Gain Podcast, Ed.
What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about guitars today.
That's pretty cool. Where are we recording from?
West Seattle, Washington.
Beautiful, beautiful. West Seattle, Washington. That's great.
So beautiful.
I got a little bit of a headache today, John.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know what?
What?
It's great news. I think this is going to be our 10th episode, isn't it?
I think this is episode 10, Ed.
That's pretty good. That feels, you know, hitting double digits. That feels kind of milestone-y.
That feels really good, 10 episodes, you know, in.
I feel like we've trained up a lot of people. They know what's going on with a lot of guitars.
I think so. I think we're really laying down the facts for some people.
Knowledge bombs.
Would you like one of these Japanese seaweed, whatever?
I don't know.
Our nephew Peter Takamori brought over
today. Oh, they're sticky. They don't look like they would
be sticky.
No, they're
not really sticky. They've got some wasabi in them.
If they weren't sticky before, they're sticky now. So, I don't know.
They got a little kick to them because of the wasabi, but
yeah,
kind of tasty.
Oh, God. Holy shit. What? What did you do? You brought these down here as a trap.
Kind of.
Oh, God. They're super hot.
They're kind of hot.
They are really hot.
They're super hot, he says. He curses and puts takes another one.
They're pretty good. Well, thanks, Peter.
Peter's real good that way.
Oh, it's hitting my nose. I stopped in at Husky Deli in beautiful West Seattle, Washington, and I bought a Synergy Organic Kombucha. I brought a gingerberry. God. Okay.
Hey, guess what we're doing today, Ed?
We're going to talk about a guitar.
Yep. Do you know what this guitar is?
I do know what that guitar is. It's a G&L. It's a Strat.
Yep. It's a G&L Strat style guitar. It's a Legacy is what it's called.
Are the Strats all called Legacy?
No, they do multiple Strat style body shapes.
Okay.
This one happens to be called the Legacy.
Because I had a G&L ASAT. Oof. ASAT, which was the Tele body.
Oh, well, the ASAT, you know what that stands for?
Nope.
Some people think it stands for after Strat, after Tele. That's actually not true.
Ass sucking angel tits.
Yes!
I don't know.
The Air Force has a missile that is an anti-satellite missile, known as the ASAT.
Okay.
And Leo Fender thought that sounded pretty cool. The imagery of some kind of guitar shooting
missile
satellites out of the sky was interesting to him.
Huh.
That's where the ASAT name comes from.
Great.
Over the years, a few people have used these. Not as many as your actual Teles, your actual Strats.
Right.
But it's got a real nice tone to it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it's got a tremolo arm on it.
Sure. The bridge on it is different than the bridge on a Strat, that's for sure.
A Strat is kind of pinned down, as it were, in six places, and it makes the tremolo action a little more stiff.
This gingerberry is pretty good. It's doing a lot to that thing Wasabi. You gave me. Yeah, thank you.
The tremolo on here is fixed at 2 points. This is called a floating bridge, so you can push and pull on it.
Ooh, cool.
And because it's only floating on those 2 points, it stays in tune better. More importantly, you know how bridges on guitars have the saddles,
right,
where the strings attach?
Yep.
You can adjust those saddles up and down and back and forth.
Little screws in them and stuff.
But they typically shimmy a little bit side to side.
Give it a little shimmy.
That back and forth motion in between the saddles can sometimes contribute to tuning instability, especially when you're using
the whammy. Okay. That's a real floppy trem. It's a real floppy boy.
It's a little floppy. But you know what this has?
Yeah.
It has a set screw in it that you can adjust the tension.
Oh, of the arm?
I happen to like you mine like pretty floppy.
A little dangler.
I leave it pretty loose.
Yep.
Anyway, that side-to-side action, one of Leo's inventions early on was
Leo Fender.
Leo Fender. Fender, California.
Post-1965.
Yep. So he put set screws in the side so you can essentially lock those saddles, keep them from going side to side, and that added to tuning stability.
Where are the set screws?
On this guitar, it doesn't have them. But
is that why I can't see them?
Yeah, they're invisible. But that was one of his many inventions.
Okay, but that's in not this guitar. Did that come after that guitar? Is that why this guitar doesn't have them or what?
It came before. The bridge was refined to the point where it's this floating tremolo. They call it a dual fulcrum.
They do. Who's they?
G&L.
Okay.
Yep.
And Leo.
So, you want to know how we got here?
Yeah.
I think you know where this story starts, Ed.
It starts 1965.
Yes.
Leo Fender gets a sinus infection.
Pretty
bad sinus infection. Thinks he's going to die.
Yes.
Wraps up his affairs.
Yep.
Sells his guitar company.
He does.
Fender Guitar. And climbs into a casket and says, that's it.
That's it.
Adios, motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm gone.
Dirt nap.
Yep. Yeah, then he rises again.
He kind of does some informal consulting for CBS Fender.
Okay.
For a little while, but that doesn't really.
Post-sinus infection. Gotcha.
Some of the ex-Fender boys are thinking to themselves, fuck CBS.
Yeah, they're not into that mass market bullshit. They're not into the, like, crank them out, shit them out, boys.
So they're looking for other stuff to do, and I did not know this, but apparently Fender,
Leo,
kind of a generous guy. So a lot of these old employees were asking for loans, asking for favors, asking for
someday
job kind of leads.
And that day may never come.
So a couple of these guys,
I'll call upon you to do a service for you.
Yeah, asking for money.
Primarily Forrest White.
What's his deal?
Old Fender guy. He started at Fender in 54, eventually becoming the VP.
The whole deal.
Yeah. I think he might have gotten kind of unhappy. So Forrest White and company, they hit up Leo for a loan.
Okay.
Hey, Leo, fuck CBS.
Yeah, give us some money.
We would like to start another company. Doing what? Amps, guitars, something in the music industry, because, you know, we know how to do that. Leo says, all right, you know, I'll help you finance. I'll give you some dough. So he gives him some dough. 1972.
He gives my guy Forrest.
Yeah.
What's Forrest up to these days?
Forrest is no longer with us.
Oh, no.
So he gives him a bunch of money. 1972, let's start a company. We need a snappy name.
I know.
What?
Music Man? Shit! God damn it.
How about Trisonics?
Oh, that is a snappy name.
Yeah.
Hella snappy.
Yeah, you know how successful that was?
Well, I mean, there's the Trisonics guitars, there's Trisonics cars.
Yeah. They didn't like that name very much. So 1973, yeah, let's change it.
Okay.
What do you think they changed it to?
Music Man? Shit. Really?
Musitech.
They're refining. They're getting there.
Yeah.
They're on their way.
They start finding out pretty early on that people don't particularly enjoy pronouncing that word.
Musitech?
Musitech.
Oh, Musitech. Musitech. Okay.
Yeah.
That, it sounds a little like Mucinex?
Yeah. So one of them, who knows who, or somebody, or maybe this is just apocryphal, is like...
Who knows?
Well, you hate it so much, Leo. What, you know, you're the music man. What do you want to call it?
Oh.
Music man.
That's great. What a story. For the generations, that story.
And he keeps putting money into it. He keeps financing it.
Our guy, Leo. Keeps dumping cash into...
To the point where he's dumped so much cash in Music Man, he's thinking, maybe I should be the president.
Sure.
So that's what happens in 75.
Okay. They were already kicking stuff out in 72, 73?
Yeah, yeah. The first guitars they made were the Sabre.
Yeah, totally.
You know the Sabre?
I do. Those are cool.
And the Stingray.
Also very cool.
And the Stingray stuff was so popular that when Music Man went under, they sold the trademark to Ernie Ball. Ernie Ball, I think, still makes Music Man guitars. Or
have you seen the St. Vincent Music Man?
I have.
That thing's cool.
And I guess St. Vincent is going back to just being Annie Clark.
Oh.
Her real name.
Guitar's real great. You know what I like about it? It doesn't look like a goddamn Strat. It doesn't look like a Tele. It doesn't look like a Les Paul.
I think it looks like the guitars that the Way Outs were playing in the Flintstones.
Way out, way out. That's where the fun is. Way out.
So the Way Outs is a band.
Yeah. What else is going on in 75?
1975?
Nixon's long gone.
So we got Johnson, right? No, we got Carter.
Ford.
Just 75 into 76, and then Carter comes in 76.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And then we get the monster in 80.
There must have been something brewing there, because between...
in 75?
It's not going well at Music Man. It's not just about sales or whatever it is, but apparently nobody's getting along.
Oh.
There's all kinds of infighting, people arguing.
Really?
Why don't we do something that's more like the Strat and the Tele, because it's the mid-70s and everybody wants Strats and Teles. And we see what's happening to the dudes that are trying some new shit.
Yep.
It's not working out so well for them.
Yep.
And Leo says, nope, I'm going to keep tinkering and innovating and doing the things that I think are important. And they're not getting anywhere, and it's just standstill.
Huh.
So it's horrible.
You think this is my guy, Forrest?
This is Leo.
Well, Leo's part of the problem.
He's kind of part of the problem.
Come on, Leo. What are you doing?
There's backbiting. There's all kinds of stuff.
With Forrest?
Forrest White.
Going at Leo. Couple of titans?
So Leo just thinks he wants to tinker in his shop and come up with stuff, and it'll be awesome because he's Leo Fender.
Right.
Takes him a while to get that fed up. 1980.
Didn't Bon Scott.
Oh, no.
Bon Scott.
Did Bon Scott leave us in 80?
He did. You know what his birth certificate says?
What?
Death by misadventure.
On his birth certificate. Crazy.
No, that might be his death certificate, actually.
His death certificate also notes him as being 8 pounds, 4 ounces.
Right. Yeah.
1980, misadventures. Yep. Leo founds G&L Guitars.
Great.
With our man George Fullerton.
Mm-hmm.
Old Fender guy. And Dale Hyatt.
I don't know him.
Old Fender guy from back in the day as well. Dale Hyatt was a fucking tail gunner in World War II.
That's cool. What's he up to?
He's not doing a whole lot.
Dale.
George Fullerton's not doing much either.
Ugh. Tail gunner? That seems cool.
Over Europe. Was shot down over France once.
Oh, no shit.
Survived. Went back up. Kept doing it.
He probably didn't even have a chute. He probably just, fuck this, jump out. Give me another plane. Let me go back up.
Yeah.
Kill some Nazis.
Yeah. So he founds G&L Guitars with those two dudes, those two venerable guys.
How come it's G&L and it's not GLD?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Dale. Get me some coffee.
Dale.
Huh. Saves the goddamn country. Comes back. What does he get? Doesn't even get a D in the G&L. It's all about them. It's all about George and Leo. Great.
Already?
Uh-huh.
1980. They're building up kind of a head of steam. The guitars aren't doing as well as the Teles and the Strats. They're heading into difficult times.
At G&L already.
Yeah, G&L already. What do people want? I want a Floyd Rose.
Yeah, yeah.
I want
of course. Metal. Shreddy boys.
The metal shreddy boys.
Yeah.
But eventually, people start catching on. Until 1990, Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the grunge cats show up.
Okay.
Some of the grunge cats like G&L guitars.
Did the dude in Alice in Chains play a G&L?
Yes, Jerry Cantrell.
Yeah.
In fact, they ended up making a Jerry Cantrell model that I believe you can still buy to this day.
That's crazy.
Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
G&L dudes.
Great. Yep. This album was really good.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, and I think, yeah, so this, we think this is a G&L.
We know it is.
Really? Really? Is this a...
It is well enough documented on the web that I feel very comfortable with it. Not only that, but that was Man in the Box, Alice in Chains. If you watch the video, I think he's even in that video with that guitar. It's an F-100.
Right. Those were cool. They got a couple of weird knobs and switches on them, I think.
They do, phase switches.
Yeah, yeah.
All the weird switches you're talking about.
Yeah.
Leo had a habit of doing that. There are lots of stories where Leo, at this point, is maybe starting to lose his hearing a little bit. Can't kind of hear the full sonic range. So he plays a guitar. He thinks, it's not bright enough. It needs to be brighter, so he puts a little switch on it. What's that? It's a treble boost.
Yeah.
So wait, so if I have the guitar in the treble position, and then I flick that treble boost, it's going to like shatter people's teeth.
Yeah.
And so George and Dale would chill it out some, and Leo,
he'd
basically wait till those two like went to get a beverage or something, and then he'd change it on the production line. Dale and George would be like, wait, I thought we decided we weren't going to do that. And Leo would say something like, oh, did we? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I changed my mind.
Leo Fender can do whatever the fuck Leo Fender wants.
Yes.
George.
Yeah. And the factory, speaking of which, the factory he built for G&L.
Yeah.
That factory still stands.
Yeah.
G&L still makes guitars there.
Yep.
And that is on Fender Avenue.
Am I crazy? Fender guitars are made in Fender, California. This we know. This is well documented.
Yeah.
But G&Ls, aren't they made in Fullerton, California?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, which is crazy because George Fullerton.
I don't know if there's a relation.
Well, don't they name all the cities where the guitars are made after the dude that makes the guitar?
Yeah, you would think that these guitars are made in G&L, California. Maybe they are.
That makes some sense, I suppose.
G&L, California.
Yeah.
So Leo's trying all this stuff.
Yeah.
I can't hear the treble.
That is crazy.
I don't have my hearing aid on. What the hell do you want?
That is really funny. Make him super bright.
But he's trying so much stuff. He's messing around with hundreds of different pickup windings, magnets, configurations, capacitors, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Something's bound to hit, and a couple things happen.
Okay.
He gets a couple of great patents out of this because he does invent some cool stuff.
Uh-huh.
And also all the other stuff he tried is lost. He didn't really like writing things down.
Oh, sure.
So he tried all this cool stuff, didn't remember or write down any of it.
Hmm.
You want to hear about some of the cool stuff that did make it to the patent office, though?
Yes.
Magnetic field pickup design.
Yeah.
Normally, you take a magnet, right?
Yeah.
And you wrap a bunch of wire around the magnet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the magnet has holes in it that you drop the pole pieces into.
Yeah.
Try it this way instead.
Okay.
So you've got a magnet that looks like a plate.
Yeah.
And you've got a coil of wire sitting on top of the plate.
Okay.
And then the pole pieces just kind of sit on the magnet.
Huh. Okay.
One of the things, ironically, is that those pickups were a little brighter sounding.
Weird. Yeah.
It's a ceramic magnet, and it's just,
a little brighter. Okay.
A little brighter. The Z-coil pickup. Take the three bass strings on a guitar.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, yep. I get it. Yep.
Cut the pickup in half and stagger it on the high strings.
Right.
And so then you can have all kinds of switches. You can have the switch that chooses which pickup you want to play.
Yeah, that's
but
goofy.
Then another switch to choose which side of the pickup you want.
Yeah. How'd that catch on, Leo?
I think they still do those.
You got a lot of examples of boys playing those pickups? A lot of examples?
No, I don't think so. But another thing, I'm going to take this guitar.
Yeah, take
it. I'm going to hold it up. I'm going to ask you to look at the back of the neck.
Yeah, yep.
Now, what do you see or not see compared to some old Fenders?
The line going down the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Also known as the skunk stripe.
Oh, is that what we call that? Okay.
One of the ways Fender would make their guitars back in the day is they'd take a piece of maple or whatever the neck was made out of.
Sure.
And they'd carve them out a neck and do their thing. And then they would route a channel right down the back of that neck.
Okay.
To put the truss rod in.
Oh, okay.
And then they'd fill it in with some walnut or mahogany or something.
Right.
Cover it back up, and that's the skunk stripe.
Yep.
Leo at GNL realized, hey, I can make a neck and just cut it right down the middle all the way through. Clean through.
Oh, really?
And I can route the channel for the truss rod inside, in the center.
Yeah.
And then put the two halves back together.
And glue them together?
Yep.
Wow. Long ways, you mean?
Yep.
That seems like that would not be the most stable way to do that.
He claimed, in fact, it was more stable.
I think these dudes...
Yeah, right.
This one's way better, guys, because I'm cutting it down the fucking middle.
That was a weird thing. A lot of the things that people thought the Tellys and the Strats were good for, and the reasons they sounded great, Leo would say, oh, those are flaws.
I don't know how much I'm into that, especially considering most of the GNL designs are Strats and Tellys. Whoever was in the camp of let's do weird stuff, let's try new things, I'm in that camp.
Yeah. Also, this guitar doesn't have it because they stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It had a precision tilt neck plate, a triangular neck plate instead of this rectangular four-screw deal.
Okay.
You put an Allen wrench in there and fine-tune the angle of the neck.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Without needing to take it off. The weird thing about that is they touted that as being a uniquely Leo Fender thing for GNL, but if you grab that Tele Deluxe...
I don't want to.
Okay. Well, if you look on the back of that, it has the exact same thing.
Oh, really?
three-screw neck plate with a micro-tilt adjustment in there.
I don't know that I'm into this revisionist history of guitar design that Leo seems to be up to.
I think he was doing a fair amount of it.
I'm in camp Leo, but don't get carried away with how much better your GNLs are.
Among the various kind of endorsers...
Sure.
...was a guy named John Jorgensen. John Jorgensen is in a band called the Helicasters.
Okay.
He loves the GNLs. He played a silver sparkly one.
The Helicasters? That sounds very rockabilly.
Yeah, maybe it was.
This is not what I would think they would sound like. Is it going to just change and blow my ears out?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. It's going to be Jorgensen, and you're going to hear that nice ASAT pull.
Huh. This isn't what I would think they would be like either.
Jorgensen, turns out, can really play.
Huh.
That guy is frightening.
Is this like 83? What year is this? This is fucking terrible. What is going on?
That was 93.
Was it really? How did that catch on with the grunge cats? That music? Like,
I don't know what happened, but that's 93.
That's weird.
And
that's
only
great.
A year after the Legacy is introduced.
Okay.
Which is, you know, this bad boy here.
Yeah.
Want me to put on some?
Of course. Yep.
And that is our man Leo.
Yeah.
Leonidas.
Is that his name?
Clarence Leonidas Fender.
That's great.
Is that something? He didn't live to see the Legacy come out in 1992, because in 91 we lost our man Leo. Yep. But you want to know about this Legacy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I do.
Something different here. It looks like a Strat. You've mentioned that. You've got a pickup selector switch.
Yep. A five-way selector switch.
Yep. Neck pickup. Bridge pickup.
Yep.
Bridge middle.
Yep.
And then everything in between.
Yep.
But here's where it gets weird.
Okay.
So you've got a volume control that, you know, and then the next one is a tone control, but it's not really a tone control.
No.
It is a tone roll-off. So, and here, like, right at that first position, it's a little weird. The second one is also tone.
Yep.
But it's more like a bass boosty kind of.
Yep. Okay, that one's not quite as subtle as the first one, but sure.
Normally, you choose a pickup combination you want.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason you want.
Like right.
Real mellow or
Yep.
Maybe I like just that bridge pickup.
Sure.
But I don't want it to be.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't like the fact that it's super. So between this...
So you're telling me with this guitar, Leo is no longer around adding treble boost. And that thing still... Because that thing screams.
Yeah.
Like the treble out of that thing is crazy. Yeah.
So now I'm going to take that first tone down.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
But
now it's kind of like a telephone or something.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So what am I going to do? Use that second one to see if I can...
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, sure. Sure.
So that's a thing you do.
Couple of tone boys.
Yeah, tone boy.
Okay. Okay, great. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. And you notice the neck on this, it's kind of like a warm color.
Yep.
That is gun oil.
Oh.
And it is exactly what it sounds like. It is the oil that you use when you clean your gun.
Mm-hmm.
Rub gun oil on the neck before they finish it, and it gives it that kind of lustrous.
So lustrous.
Very lustrous.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how I feel about the headstock. I'm super not into that little nodule there.
Yeah, the nodule. They call it the hook. But yeah, it's a nodule. It's a growth.
Like, it's just a Strat headstock with a little hook on it. I've had Music Man amps, and I've had G&L guitars, and I think Leo might have peaked right about 1965. Pre-sinus infection, he might have peaked.
Do you really think that?
Yeah, I do. Modern Fender and a modern G&L side by side, 2018. I bet the G&L blows the Fender away. That's just a gut feeling, I bet.
That could very well be.
Maybe if you go with one of those Masterwork custom Fender boys that you pay $4,000 for, custom shop, that might be pretty nice. But I bet you walk in and just any G&L off the shelf is probably got a quality control level that's a little higher than a standard USA Tele. Would be my guess. I've nothing to back that up other than gut.
I think they're still largely made by hand.
Yeah.
The most collectible G&L was one that they only made like 800, 900 copies of. They called it the Broadcaster. Kind of the Tele shape, but it had some great pickups in it. And it was the best-selling guitar they ever made. It was called the Broadcaster, but they couldn't make too many of them because Gretsch.
Oh, weird. They copied another guitar?
No.
Oh.
Gretsch had a patent, trademark, whatever it is, on Broadcaster drums from like the 30s or whenever it was. They own the trademark for Broadcaster.
Sure.
The name Broadcaster, so they couldn't do it. But subsequently, it became super collectible. And if you were going to look for a G&L
Broadcaster,
that's maybe the one you want to collect.
Yeah.
That's where the revenge comes in.
This is a revenge story.
Yeah. Guess who designed the Broadcaster?
Dale!
My
guy! Oh, yeah. Shit. Wait, he designs the guitar.
He designed and marketed it.
Wait, this is a revenge story in which Dale markets a guitar that they got sued for. Maybe George and Leo were onto something. Yeah. Maybe Dale was a fuck up.
Go take a flying leap off a burning plane.
What the hell, Dale? Come on. Just look some shit up before you stick a name on the goddamn guitar, Dale.
Dale.
What the fuck? Huh.
But that Broadcaster, ASAT, Blues Boy, kind of like all those Tele shapes.
Oh, was it another Tele copy?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At that point, 1990s, 2000s, I think they were more popular than the Strat shape.
The Tele shapes.
Yeah, the Tele shapes. Oh. People kind of like them. They're highly regarded.
Is it Death Cab?
It is Death Cab.
Yeah.
For Cutie.
Huh.
Our man.
Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
Benny G.
Love the G&Ls. 18 years later, I don't know what he's playing. Probably lots of stuff. And that was from We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes.
Yeah.
2000. He was into it.
Okay, well, I think there's something cool to playing the guitar that is not the guitar that everyone is playing.
I wonder if it's a continuation of a theme that we talk about quite a bit.
We have themes? 10 episodes in, we're getting some themes.
We have themes.
Okay, what... I have not been keeping track.
I think this might be the theme that's okay. about, hey, oh, yeah. I'm a kid, I'm starting a band, but I can't afford...
Oh, that theme.
I can't, yeah. Yeah, the I can't afford the fancy guitar theme.
Right, right.
This G&L looks nice and is a fraction of the cost of the fancy guitars.
Yeah.
I will play that.
Yep.
And I'm happy to report.
Yeah.
It continues to this day.
Right.
You know the Screaming Females?
No, I do not.
The singer in that band and guitar player is a woman named Marissa Paternoster.
Classic. Yeah, okay.
I include them because she's a Jersey girl.
Oh. I love it.
Wait till
I love it already.
Comes in. I think you'll like it.
Well, there's some guitar going on.
Here it comes. It's coming.
Yes.
Screaming Females.
I'm sold. I love it.
Isn't that great?
Whoa. Wait, no, don't stop this. Normally I tell you to stop stuff.
Yeah.
Don't stop this. Are some vocals coming? Yeah. Great. Okay. I love it.
That's good, huh?
I love it.
That's 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, that name of that song?
Yeah.
Ripe.
Sure.
I thought that was super cool. 2015.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe these days people see the actual Fenders is kind of too staid, too corporate, too whatever. I don't know. We need a millennial in here.
Yeah. We had Frank.
We did have Frank.
Frank's classic millennial.
Yeah.
Right?
Millennial
right?
Classic.
Yeah, yeah. He's a late stage millennial, I think.
Yeah, sorry, Frank. It's fatal.
Yep, late stage. But yeah, you know, oh, those wasabi bangers, those things are hard. They go real hard. They are.
Wow.
There's a lot going on with those things.
Those things are a little heavy.
Okay, so we had some Helicaster, we had some Alice in Chains, some mm-hmm. Jerry Cantrell, mm-hmm. we had some Screaming Females. Mm-hmm. I love it. I like your guitar. Mm-hmm. I like the black hardware, black pick guard a lot.
We will post pictures of this on the website and in the show notes.
You told me this thing's like a custom or something?
It is. G&L continues in that same factory. We talked about that.
Uh-huh.
But they continue to basically offer any options you want.
Okay.
It's not a big deal to say, hey, can you make me a guitar that has this, 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 and the other thing?
Mm-hmm.
And to them, it's not some crazy expensive Fender custom shop thing.
Right.
It's like, well, why wouldn't we do that for you?
Sure.
So when I ordered this, I said, I want the gun oil on the neck. I want black pickups, knobs, and pickguard. I want two-tone sunburst instead of three-tone sunburst. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that. To that degree, think of G&L as 100% custom shop.
That's pretty nice.
They'll make whatever you want.
That is great. You ever go on the Fender page and look at their custom order? They've got their custom page where you can order the build detail from their masterwork shop versus the kind of front-end custom thing.
Right.
They are crazy expensive.
Millennials are grabbing them up. They're cheap.
I walk in today, and John is standing there so proud of himself, just looking at me, comes strolling out of the shitter. And he's got on his fucking tighty whities and a goddamn ABBA t-shirt. And I could not have been madder. I could not have been more upset. Just rubbing my face in it.
Well, I've got something planned for you for future episodes.
Yeah. You did not bring them up in this episode one time, but I've been sitting here and we sit across from each other and just like stare at each other.
You've been waiting for it.
That goddamn shirt is just taunting me this whole episode, pissing me off.
You can borrow it if you
want. I do not want to borrow that shirt.
I did, in all honesty, scour the web.
Yeah.
I could find no record of our man Bjorn playing a G&L.
This could potentially be the first episode where he did not play some variant.
Yeah, by all accounts, he was pretty open-minded about guitars, willing to try lots of things. But
that's cool.
Maybe their shit was over by, you know.
I don't know, but that goddamn shirt.
You love it. I'm going to get you one.
Okay.
There is one wrinkle in this story, Ed.
The G&L story?
The G&L story.
Oh, okay.
They ended up doing what a lot of manufacturers do. This is maybe another theme. I don't know. Maximize profit by... Ed is snoring.
I'm super not into where
Ed
this is going.
Ed is so upset he just spontaneously fell asleep.
I am not into where this is going right now because I know.
Yeah, the tribute line.
You know, one thing that they didn't do that a lot of these other companies did do.
What's that?
They never made a guitar, discontinued it, and then reintroduced it down the line when people thought it was cool. You know why they didn't do that?
Why?
I think because they never made a guitar that people thought was cool enough to be discontinued and then reissued.
I think that first guitar they made, the F-100.
Yeah.
The Jerry Cantrell.
Oh, maybe so.
I think the fact that you can buy a Jerry Cantrell F-100 today, it kind of plays into that reissue story.
Maybe so. F-100s, they've got the natural bodies.
Yes.
Those are cool, and they've got the kind of stainless metal hardware.
The control plate is metal.
And the cool little dials and switches and shit like that. Yeah, the F-100's kind of cool.
I don't know if it's as collectible as our man Dale's guitar. We're going to have to find out if Dale fucked up or if Dale deliberately was undermining Leo.
Oh my God, you think he torpedoed him?
I jumped out of planes for these guys.
Right, we're going to start this company, the Three Amigos, George, Dale, and Leo.
Yeah, GDL.
I would not be surprised at all if he did that whole broadcaster thing on purpose.
Maybe. Leo goes.
Yep.
Dale goes.
Does Leo, was he still in the company? When you say goes, you mean...
He was working on guitars the last day of his life.
Is that true?
That is true. In fact, he had this old kind of like grandpa style office slash shop with all the old oscilloscopes and piles of magazines and all kind of like pictures.
What
like
kind of magazines?
Girly magazines.
Probably. Okay, cool.
Picture like grandpa's shop.
Yeah.
They left it exactly as it was. You can go to GNL today, take a tour, and see Leo's office left exactly the way it was on the day he died. Yeah, so GNL, all those guys are gone. Phyllis Fender, Leo's widow, she's still with us. Just came out with a book about Leo.
How long were they married?
Not long. Leo was married once before, and then his wife died. And okay. So Phyllis was his second wife.
Second wife.
Our man George set them up.
It's lovely. You told me a story about fucking Les Paul getting the divorce and hiding funds.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Yep.
Leo, till death do us part.
Yep.
I love it.
That's his deal.
Fender is a champion. I love that guy.
Phyllis, after Leo goes, hands the company over to BBE Electronics. You might know them from...
What do I know them from?
Various pieces of rack gear. They make some pedals. Leo had a relationship with the BBE guy. Liked him, trusted him, and apparently left word with Phyllis. When I kick, I'd be okay with BBE owning GNL.
Okay. Go Phyllis. We're super into Leo Fender. He's a good guy.
And that, as they say, is that. That is the GNL guitar, Ed.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
That was real good. Hey, John, where can people find us?
Well...
Yeah.
You can go to our website, thehighgain.com.
Oh, cool. Where else?
You can go to Facebook, okay. The High Gain.
Where else?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yep. iTunes.
Okay.
Stitcher.
Okay.
Anywhere you get your podcasts, go do that.
Did you say Instagram?
I did now.
Okay.
Instagram.
Great. What if people want to mail us?
TheHighGainPod@gmail.com.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
We look forward to hearing from you, assholes.